Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord today for allowing me to be on this radio station once again. I hope and pray that the broadcast today will be a blessing to you and that God will speak personally to your heart. It's nothing like that. When God speaks to a person's heart, they never get over it. There's folks that God spoke to as a child and they never got over it. It never will leave you. I remember when he first spoke to my heart, he got a hold of my heart at a young age. And I never got over it. I'm so thankful that once he did speak to me, I started seeking him with all my heart. I got saved at 8 years old. I didn't know much about anything, didn't know anything about life. But I did hear the Word of God preach, and I did realize I was a sinner. And I knew that I was on my way to hell. And I'm so glad that the Lord spoke to my heart. And I'm glad that I heard that cry. And the Lord was calling me. That call, I heard the call of God. And I began to cry out to him and ask him to have mercy upon me and save my soul. I knew how to repent because I've been preached to. I had faith to be saved because I've been preached to. I tell you, I knew that because I was under a real preacher, a man that loved the flock, that stood up and preached the Word of God. And it was good for the child, even all the way up to the older person. I tell you, the Word of God is powerful, and it do exactly what it needs to do. The man of God was preaching in his house at the time. It was a very, very small church, just getting started, and the Lord blessed it. I was sitting there, and that's when God spoke to my heart. That's when God began to deal with me. That's when God called me to salvation, and I began to seek him. I heard what he said. I believed it, and I tell you, I just didn't know what to do. And so the first time I heard it, I didn't get saved. I began to go home and pray, and I'd come again to church and I'd pray again and I'd pray again. And I'm not sure how long it took, but time came where I believed with all my heart. I had enough faith to be saved and I really heard it, received it. And I began to cry out to him one day beside my mother's bedside. I got there by myself and closed the door and I got real with God. I really got down on my knees and I began to cry out to him. I didn't care if anyone in the house heard me crying. I was crying out to God. I needed help. I knew I needed help. I just didn't know what to do, how to do. I couldn't express myself. I couldn't talk to nobody. I was young. There was problems in the home. Just an alcohol type environment where my dad lived and he didn't want to live that way. But Satan had a hold of his flesh and I know he regrets that. I love him and I'm not bitter toward him. But it put our family in a bad situation. And that being young, I just didn't know what to do. But as I heard the word and I realized by hearing the word that I was a sinner, that I was lost and I was born in sin and I was shaping iniquity from my mother's womb, going forth speaking lies. And as I began to hear the word, I realized I was a sinner. I told lies at that age and I done things that wasn't right. And I realized that I was a sinner and I wanted to be saved and I took it serious and I come to that point where I got by myself and I went by there and I found my prayer closet and I cried out to him with all my heart. I got up and I went to my mother and said, Mother, he's not going to save me. I've been down here praying and he hadn't saved me. I knew that there was going to be a difference. I knew it was more than just a mouth confession because I've been preached to. And so when I began to call on him, and I didn't call him out of my whole heart, I didn't get saved. She said, he'll save. You got to keep praying and just keep calling on him. And so the second time, that's when I really got real. I gave it all up. I didn't hold on to anything. The devil comes and tries to tell you all kind of things and all kind of lies why you can't and why you should wait or you're going to have to give this up and that up. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. And so the devil was working, but yet I just gave it all up and I cried out to him and asked him to have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I know I'm not justified. There's nothing good I can do to go to heaven. I knew that. And I got saved the very instant I poured out all my heart. And I've been a brand new creature ever since. And I tell you, that's what I want people to do. I want people to be saved, truly saved. I want them to know what truly repentance is. It's more than a head knowledge and a lip service. And that's what the lost church world today tells you. Just believe it and just confess it. and confess it before all and join the church, be baptized in water, and you're saved. But it's not salvation. There is a way of salvation, and you got to get it in order. You can't get it out of order. And that's what happens. People are trying to justify themselves by good works and all these types of things. And it's not by the works of the law the man's justified, but it's by grace through faith are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. And so you got to come to him by faith. It's not of works. It's a precious gift that he gives you. First of all, a man's got to see himself. A person got to see himself. He's a lost sinner, and he can't help himself. He can't get to heaven. He's not good enough to work himself to heaven. He can't keep the law. He can't do anything to be justified. He's lost, so he needs a Savior. He needs something that God will accept to justify him. And the only thing that God will accept is his Son, the blood of his Son, that atonement there, that cleansing agent, the blood of Jesus Christ. God's own Son cleanses us from all sin. And so that's what God accepts. You can't bring your good works and all that. You can come to God and say, Lord, I'm a good person, and I've never said a cuss word, and I try to do good, and I try to keep treat my neighbor well, and I try to do these things. But he said, you're empty. You're lost. You're not saved, because it starts from within. You got to come in and realize you can't justify yourself. None of those things can. But as you repent of your sins for being a sinner, being born in sin and shaped in iniquity, would you confess your sins to God like that? He will forgive you and save you and wash you clean, and then you join the church where God has placed you. Then you get baptized in the water grave, what we call the watery grave, where it's just showing the people, your loved ones and your friends that you've been delivered, and you do those things because God said do it. Jesus said, behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. He said, told John the Baptist to baptize him in the water. But see, that's, the water has no, it adds nothing to. In other words, you can't be saved. Some people say, well, you can't be saved unless you've been baptized in the water. You can't be saved unless you speak in tongues. You can't be saved unless you join the church. You can't, all these things. But that's not so. You get saved by believing heart. By faith are you saved. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works. Let's imagine it's the gift of God. And so when you believe with all your heart, you see yourself a sinner, you are sorry about that, you're sorry you sinned against him, you repent of your sins, you call on him like that, and when you do, he'll hear that. He'll forgive you, and he will save you. And then you'll have that salvation. You'll be justified in the sight of God. And then you'll join the church where God has placed you to worship, the place of a body of believers that God wants you to grow with, to love each other, to bind together, and work the work of faith and fight a good fight of faith, fight a good fight and do the work of God together as a body of believers there, as an assembly there, to get the word of God out, to support the man of God and do the work of God. And that then, you know, once you join the church, you get baptized in the water. They baptize you in the water just to show that what God has done for you. And then when you do those things, and when you get saved, he'll send you out. You become a workman then. You become his workman. You'll go out and win the loss to a lost and dying world. And today, that's kind of the way it is today. You know, back then they had priests, and then they had Levites and things of that sort. And I believe the Levites were helpers, no doubt. They were those that helped minister about those things. You had the priests, you had the high priest, you had the priest and all this. And then you had those Levites there that God blessed as well. And they were to go about and give their life to that work there. And it was for the other tribes to support them and to love them. And so that's the way it is. We that are saved, once we've been saved, we're to go out there and work, and we're to get, we're his workmanship, and we're to get the word of God done, and we're to get it out there. And so, the day that you can't be justified by works, you got to get saved first, and then the works will follow, is what I'm trying to say, and God will use you mightily. And so I want to read to you today in Luke chapter number 10, and, chapter number 10 that there, and verse, starting at verse number 25, and the Bible said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted the Lord Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was tempting him. He thought he would catch him in something or what have you. This man, no doubt, thought he was very wise and that he would be able to handle himself. And a lot of lawyers are that way, you know, and a lot of people got a lot of pride about themselves. And But yet this man, he was a lawyer. He stood up and tempted the Lord, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? He asked Jesus a question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him a question and said, what is written in your law? Tell me, what's written? How readest thou? And he said, answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible said, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. You know, the Bible said in the first, when God gave the commandments, the first commandment of all, what Jesus said was to love the Lord thy God. He said there's only one Lord. That's what he said in a book of Mark, I believe it was. He said the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's one Lord. And you shall love the Lord thy God with one heart, and all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all your strength. And that is the first commandment. Jesus said, it's very important. You have no other gods before me. When he brought them out of the children of Israel, out of the Egyptian bondage, and brought them out, he told them that. You have no other gods before me, and you're to serve me and love me with all your heart. And the second is like this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there's no other greater commandment than these. These are the greatest commandments. And the Jesus told him to love his neighbor as himself. And Jesus said, thou hast answered right, this and do likewise. And the Bible said in that time, he said, you do this, you keep my judgments, you keep my statutes and live in them. You in other words, you live them and do them, and they're your life. You love them. You're serving God. You're serving him with your whole being and his work, and you're putting out the effort. And he said, this do and y'all shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You know, and so, you know, Jesus began to tell him a story here, no doubt. And this man's like, who is my neighbor? No doubt, maybe this lawyer was talking about, yeah, the first commandments, the Lord thy God, and then the second commandment. But yet, way it's worded there in the Old Testament there, it didn't talk about loving your neighbor as yourself as being the second commandment. But this man began to say, who is my neighbor? Who it is? And Jesus said, there was a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. This man went down from a place of Jerusalem, a place of peace. He went down to a troubled place and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And that's exactly what the world will do to you today. You'll go out there and get in the world and begin to partake of the things of the world and sin. And I tell you, the devil will meet you and he will beat you and he'll strip you of everything you've got. And this old man, he fell down and he lost everything, wounded him, departing and leaving him half dead. These thieves left him and leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. He didn't have time. He didn't have compassion upon this man that was stripped and beat. Here he was dying. He was almost dead. And here it was. This is a way of religion, no doubt. The way that people do. They get caught up and join churches and call themselves saved when they never really been saved. All they are is a religious person that got a case of the do-betters, no doubt. And they're trying to go about doing good, but still they hadn't been justified. Their heart's still empty. And they still don't have God in their life. They just lost. And they think they're justified by having some kind of title in the church or being justified by joining the church. It's not that way. And also, he said, likewise, a Levite, which is also the one under a priest, I believe. And he came and went on the other side as well. But there was a certain Samaritan, and he journeyed, came as he was. And he saw him and had compassion on this man. Come from Jerusalem, no doubt. This man, no doubt, was a Jew. And the Jews and Samaritans didn't have deals with one another. But this Samaritan went and he had compassion upon him, poured in oil and the wine, put him up on his own beast, took him to the hospital, no doubt, and stayed with him overnight. Said, here's some more money. If it's cost you more to take care of this man, when I come again, I will pay you. And he said, which of these was a neighbor? And he said, told this man to go and do thou likewise. This man's heart wasn't right with God. He wasn't a good neighbor to anyone. He wasn't justified. He was trying to justify himself. But Jesus got right down where he lives. And so what Jesus did today, got right down where you live too, if you'll get honest about yourself. But I see my time's come and gone. Write to us and pray for us. In Jesus' precious name, and amen.